Any other scriptures you can think of?
Might just add for our understanding of these scriptures that it's evident that we are presenting, we're commenting on Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 in the way that they describe the fall of Satan from heaven, becoming, we might say, he was not created as the devil, but it appears from the scriptures that he became the enemy of God at some point after he was created. Obviously, and these verses would appear to describe him. They do, in the context of the prophecies, we should mention, they do describe literal kings mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So that there are, I think in Isaiah 14, it's the king of Babylon, and in Ezekiel 28, it's the king of Tyre. These were real people that were being addressed as well. And as it relates to the real person, the pride of these literal kings is being, you might say, spoken of in hyperbole, exaggerated somewhat to show how proud they were being. But in addition, we can rightly interpret them, I think, to say, well, so that you don't, you know, get surprised if somebody says, but look, it's talking about the king of Tyre. It is talking about a literal king, but when we look at the kinds of descriptions that are given about these kings, it's evident that the things that are said could not really have happened with a real person, to actually be on the mountain of God, right. For example, like is said. And so we start to think, well, it must also be an application or a description of this other being that these literal kings are also behaving like. So there are some things that would not fit with Satan. But there are other things that do fit with Satan and do not appear that they could possibly fit with a literal person, just to add that to our understanding of these prophets. I do have also, I think in this context, a question that was handed to me. I think it is about these verses in verse 1 and verse 2, and help me if I don't explain it the right way or read it the right way. Do we know anything about disproving creationism? And the attempt to disprove creationism says that there were things on the earth before Genesis began, but they are not mentioned in the Bible. And therefore, if we believe that there were things on the earth before Genesis, we can't believe the Bible, because the Bible doesn't record those. Is that the right presentation? So in other words, there are those who say there were things on the earth before Genesis began, but the Bible doesn't speak of them, and so therefore the Bible must be deficient and we can't believe anything that the Bible says. Could we make some comments on that question?
I got a comment there, and the comment is, I look for the best evidence is eyewitness evidence, right? Who was there at the beginning? Who was there at the beginning? So the people who say otherwise, you ask them, were you there at the beginning? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. God was there at the beginning. Everybody has, in one sense, has a measure of faith on what we didn't observe. These are things that happened before we could observe them. So it is a measure of faith. And we have the word of God that says what it says. So my answer to that would be that God was there in the beginning. God has given us his word. He's given us information. This is all that we have at this point. I mean, God was there at the beginning. That's my response to that. And he is the eyewitness, and he gave us this record.
And today, as you mentioned too, like just even go for it. But these things we don't have no more. Like these animals may have died out before the flood. That's why they weren't on the ark. That's just an easy way to explain it using the scripture. You know, you just think of it. God said all the animals are on the ark that were there. Mm-hmm. If they died out before, well, they weren't on the ark. Easy. Same with the gopher wood. Like it had disappeared before the flood. So how do we know? It's not in the scriptures. So to make up something, to try and explain it, that's where men go wrong in their thinking.
Yeah, I was thinking too along the same line that regarding this
question, the critic that's being described in this question is saying there were things on the earth before Genesis that the Bible doesn't describe. And I think my response would be, well, that's as they say in logic, that's a straw man argument. You're setting up an argument just for the sake of knocking it down. Who says that there were things on the earth before Genesis began. And if there were, whatever we do know is that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I think we're going to get to what may have taken place and what the different viewpoints might be about verse 1 and verse 2. But it does say that God created the heavens and the earth, and I think that's enough for us. Whatever that was, the Bible does say that God created that. And that's enough for us to know. It does not, the fact that we don't have more detail in verse 1 does not disprove the Bible. It gives us enough information to say that that's what God did. Alexander.
Just a simple comment. The Psalm 119, verse 160, it says that the sum of the word of God is the truth. So sometimes I like this question because we ask a question because we look at our interpretation of the facts first, and after we point to the Bible, hey, it's not saying that. But if we take the Bible as a truth first, as fundamental, then it would change our way to see things. So this is the question is, the problem with evolution and all that stuff is always the same. We point to the Bible, but it should be the reverse. We should take the Bible to look at the evidences. So just a quick comment like that.
Could you repeat the verse?
It's the verse 160.
So Psalm 119, is it?
119, verse 160.
Just a very quick thing. Another important thing to remember when you speak with certain people is that the Bible, the Holy Bible, God's Word, has the only explanation of a beginning. There is no other religion that has a beginning mentioned. Science does not mention a beginning. They can't explain it. They always skip over it. It is only God's Word, only our Bible, that has a mention of the beginning.
Now, what I wanted to get into here before we
got to move on is that, yes, that we do believe that there was an event that Satan rebelled and was judged, and that this, we believe, did take place between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Now, big point here is we don't know how long that interval of time was. I mean, we don't know. You know, we don't honestly know. There are some, and this is, I'm going to move on to another critical point here, that there are some people who have tried, in my view, going back to what you were just saying, they have looked at the science. The science says that the Earth or the universe is all these billions of years, and we see this event that took place between Genesis 1 and 2, and people have tried to push that period of time in there to say that, hey, that's where it happened, right? And I just want you to understand that's called a gap theory. My big point here is that we do not know, as far as I understand, and this is where I am now in my own understanding of this, I don't know how long that interval was. Right? Something happened, but I don't think Scripture does not tell us how long it was. Okay. Now, I do want to, you can see this is Schofield. That Schofield has this is his viewpoint. Thoughts about the recreation of the earth. This is in Genesis 2, verse 2. Only the earth, he says, not the universe, is said to have been without form and void. That's one point that he makes. Then another point of people who hold this view is that that word that is translated, the earth was, could also be translated, the earth became. Now again, I can't argue much in terms of the Hebrew. And then the next point here, these are just the Hebrew expression for without form and void is used to describe a condition produced by divine judgment in the only other two texts where the two words appear in conjunction, and those are the references, Isaiah and so forth. So these are some of the points that he makes to suggest that something did happen between 1 and 2, and that in verse 2 we have something clear there. I just want you to know that. Now, this is where I got... Yes, go ahead. Oops. There you go. Isaiah 34, verse 11, and Jeremiah 4, verse 23, I think. So he is saying that based upon the Hebrew language and the use of the language, that the way that the wording is would suggest that there was judgment involved. There was judgment.